A blessed Lord's Day to all our listeners this first Sunday of the month of November 2023. As we look back over the year, we can state with confidence, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. And I want to repeat that, and perhaps you can repeat it with me just where you are. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Hallelujah. Bless the name of our Lord. I'm Pastor John Yard from the Westmoreland Church of the Nazarene. And I wish to take this opportunity to invite you to join us any Sunday morning of your choosing. We will be happy to have you there. May God's word this morning be a source of encouragement to your soul. May you be blessed today. Let's pray. Father, we acknowledge that we have been kept by your power. And it is with confidence that we can look to the future, when we will be presented faultless before the presence of the glory with exceeding joy. Lord, unto them, will you keep us focused? Lord, keep our minds and will on you for our strength. Lord, for our daily provision. May your Holy Spirit rescue some drifting soul this morning. Someone discouraged and filled with despair, feeling hopeless. May that disposition this morning be replaced with confidence and faith in you and in your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This morning we want to focus on I'll be with you for the month, God willing. And we want to have a focus on Psalm 73. In Psalm 73, it expresses some deep emotional moments that we ourselves sometimes experience in our Christian journey. We experience it in our journey of faith, in our commitment to service, which sometimes lead to indecisive moments, sometimes leads to moments of doubt, leads to moments of questioning the validity of our faith, moments of wondering if it worth it all. And life does present those moments in our Christian journey. We want to look at such an experience this morning. In Psalm 73, the author is Asaph. Asaph is the author of the psalm. And who was Asaph? Asaph was a leading singer in the temple. Actually, he was the head of the choral worship. So he's very involved in worship. As a Levite, he's in the temple almost every day, concentrating in the David's court. And you know, music was very big in the temple. So this is Asaph. As I said, he was a Levite, serving the temple on a daily basis. Actually, Asaph is recognized as the author of the psalm used when Hezekiah revived temple worship. And you can see his name along with David mentioned in 2 Chronicles 29, verse 30. As we examine the text, we recognize that Asaph acknowledged the goodness of God. In verse 1, Psalm 73, he acknowledged the goodness of God. He recognized the benefits of heart purity. He recognized that God respects that. God acknowledged that. So he suggested that to us. He also shared with us some indecisive moments, which we want to zero in this morning. Some indecisive moments in his stewardship. Some decisive moments in his time at the temple. Verse 2 states in Psalm 73 from Asaph, he said, "As for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had almost slipped." And perhaps this morning we can identify with that to our Christian journey, to perhaps other journeys, moments of slippage, moments of doubt, moments when we stumbled on. But he gave us a clear picture of where his problem was. And I don't want you to forget that where he is. He's in the temple. He's a leader in worship. He's a Levi. And that is his role. But he's saying, "My feet almost slipped, and I almost stumbled, for I was envious. I became envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." From where? He's in the temple. He is a chief worship leader. But some discouragement is entering in when he allows his mind to examine what is happening in his environment. And when he places judgment on what is supposedly occurring, the enticement to shift my commitment from the things of God came under severe pressure. As he examined that, the text suggests to us in his mouthings the enticement, or there was an enticement to shift his commitment. What is interesting as we look into the text, the apparent contradiction between the goodness of God and the prosperity of the wicked started to penetrate Asaph's mind, started to impact his judgment, started to impact his confidence, started to impact his faith. And yes, there are some indecisive moments of life that carry some serious impact on us. And I want to suggest this morning that in our Christian journey, we sometimes find ourselves in this exact situation. We are living in a very interesting period of life. As we see events at home, as we see events abroad, as we see events across the Caribbean, the world is in turmoil. And you sometimes family is in turmoil. Systems are in turmoil. But I want you to note this morning that this mental assault on Asaph is occurring while he is functioning in the temple as chief worship leader. So, perhaps I'm speaking to a Sunday school teacher, I'm speaking to a member in ministry, and you finding yourself so consumed with what is happening to you and what you think should be happening to you. And in life, in our Christian journey, we can all have some doubtful moments in our journey of faith. Right to scripture, you observe that doubtful moments in our journey of faith, doubtful moments in our respective ministries, indecisive moments of life, if not to, doubtful moments in our calling, It was Joseph Rowe that said, when unhappy, one doubts everything. When happy, one doubts nothing. End of quote. Maybe you want to repeat that. When unhappy, one doubts everything. When happy, one doubts nothing. In moments of doubt and being indecisive in our faith, sometimes and most times leads to faulty judgment. And we've got to be careful of that as we look at Aesop's commentary from the temple. And in these moments of doubt and being indecisive in our faith, as I said, it can result in faulty judgment. And faulty judgment can dominate our mind. Faulty judgment can dominate our mind. The child of God looking out into the world and examining what he assumed as their benefits and compare with his is a judgment that can dominate our mind. It is a judgment, a faulty judgment that can dominate our spirit. It is a faulty judgment that can dominate our resolve. It is a faulty judgment that can lead to discouragement. And let's examine how faulty one judgment can become when you allow the mind to be discouraged and disturbed by the external stuff. Verse 4, he said, for there are no pangs in the deaf, comparing himself with those who show no acknowledgement, no care for God, no care for the things of God. In his judgment, there are no pangs in the deaf. Their strength is firm. So it is a comparative analysis occurring here. And who is saying this? This is the Levite, the chief choral singer in the temple, the one who leads the worship. Their strength is firm. He says, they are not in trouble as other men. Faulty judgment. Their eyes bulge with abundance. They have more than heart could wish. So our dear brother, as he looks on from the temple, as he looks on from his station of ministry, he's making these judgments. The grass looked greener on the other side, not knowing that what he was seeing was all fake. In verse 13, Aesop said something profound. And we've got to watch it because discouragement can grow. Doubt can grow. And in the temple, in a ministry role, in a call role, having allowed his mind to view what he was observing and the judgment he placed on it and the value he gave to it. This was his comment in verse 13. Surely I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence. I look at the Good Word translation and it says, I have received no reward for keeping my life pure and washing my hands of any blame. You see what can happen this morning? Self-pity, feeling sorry for yourself, taking your eyes off of the goal and looking on the other side. Who is this person speaking, Pastor Yard? This is Aesop, a Levite, a chief worker in the temple. One who is depended on, but doubt has started to settle in his mind. the crisis consume ASAP. It weighed him down. He started to wonder what is his real value. Began to wonder if it makes sense functioning in the temple. And as I said that this morning, I wonder if it could be that someone listening to this radio broadcast, this first Sunday of November, is feeling exactly like Asa. I'm wondering if someone listening to this broadcast is wondering if your present reality is your reward for your years of service. I'm wondering if someone who is not keen of going even to church today because they feel as though they're not appreciated. Or they feel as though no one cares for them. I'm speaking to someone who's asking themselves, if your financial situation is your reward for your years of sacrificial giving, or if your years of service has gone unrewarded. I'm going to speak to someone who is tempted to drift away from their Christian moorings. Someone at the brink of giving up because as they look outside of themselves, they are seeing some mental pictures that seemingly is saying to them, you're wasting your time in kingdom building. You're wasting your time with that Sunday school class. You're wasting your time in witnessing. You're wasting your time in doing it God's way. And you're becoming captivated by the bright lights. You're becoming captivated by the stories you're hearing, and you're beginning to believe them that it's better on the other side. They don't ever get sick. They never have trouble. And you're becoming sucked in to that narrative. I'm wondering this morning if I'm speaking to a pastor feeling broken by criticism. Wondering if this is the sum total of ministry. And perhaps the idea floating in his mind, you have wasted your time. Can I this morning suggest to you, you need to change your posture. Remember, he's in the temple. He's in the court. He's in a place where you worship and where you lead worship. And I'm so glad this morning that this story didn't stop there. The Bible says in verse 17 that all that he saw came into perspective when he went into the sanctuary. In verse 17 of Psalm 23, we see a profound transition. We see a powerful realization of what it is when you move from the temple into the sanctuary, and we're gonna look at that. Our relationship with God. That she says, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I had a clearer picture. Can I say to someone this morning? Our relationship with God is more than a title. Our relationship with God is more than a post. He had to move from the temple to the sanctuary. I'll repeat that. He had to move from the temple to the sanctuary. I'm reminded of Psalms 91, verse 1, when it says, he who dwells in the secret place or in the sanctuary of the Most High shall abide under the shadows of the Almighty. Hallelujah. You see, I want to say to you this morning that the sanctuary is more than a building. It is more than a location. So sometimes we get stuck at locations, at posts in the temple by just doing the ritualistic thing of my responsibility. But you've got to enter into the sanctuary for clarity. The sanctuary is a place of experience. It's a place of encounter. The sanctuary is a place of brokenness. It is a place of affirmation. It is a place of power. It is a place of presence. It is a place of peace. Hallelujah. Only when he entered into the sanctuary is a place that keeps you together. When the turn back moments of life, when the indecisive moments of life, when the doubtful moments of life comes in like a flood, it is in the sanctuary that we open up to him and say, Lord, help me. It is in the sanctuary that clarity comes. And the psalmist said, it's only when I went into the secret place of the Most High and he began to speak to me and he began to show me that I realized how faulty my thinking was. My brother, my sister, you need to find yourself not only in the temple, not only in the church, but find yourself in the sanctuary of God's love. Find yourself, as some said, in that secret place of the Most High, under the shadows of the Almighty. And then it will impact your vision, it will impact your view, your indecisive moments will change, and you will become strong and decisive. I will go through, Lord. I will follow you, Lord. But you must move from that position of speculation. You must move from that position of believing that you are lesser than. You have moved from that position of believing that God has forgotten you and there's no value in what you're doing. I'm here to say to you this morning that that is a strategy of the enemy to discourage you. But he has tailored this word this morning to speak to you right there in your kitchen. Yes, you. He has tailored this word this morning to speak to you there driving your car. He has tailored this word this morning to speak to you still in your room, resting. The Holy Spirit has tailored this word for you, specifically you, to encourage you and say, move from where you are. Get up. Move from your indecision. I've called you. I've chosen you. It's not by chance that we're reminded that they that do what? They that wait on the Lord. Be of good courage this morning. Do not allow the things that are happening around you, the things that may be happening in your family structure, the things that may be happening at your workplace, the things that may be happening at your church. Remember who called you. Remember who you belong to. Keep focus. Get into the sanctuary. Don't just be a spectator from the temple. Temple worship has its place. Oh my God. But when you get into the secret place of the Most High, when you get into the sanctuary, and he shows you in his word what he wants you to see. And one of the strategies of the enemy too is sometimes he stops us from reading the word. And our information comes from what we observe. Our information comes from what we're hearing. Our information comes from our interpretation of what we're seeing. And as clearly demonstrated in Esau's position, was all false, because he took his eyes, he took his vision from where it should be. Where last have you been in the sanctuary? Where last have you allowed yourself to be broken before him? Father, this is your son or your daughter. And this is how I feel. And you're my strength this morning. Clear my vision this morning. Give me a new energy this morning, Lord. No wonder that guy, when he found himself in his decision, he said, Lord, and sometimes it happened to us, Lord, I believe, but what I can see around me is giving me some struggle. So help that aspect of unbelief. Help the dimension of my indecisiveness. And that is where the sanctuary does it for us. Hallelujah. In the sanctuary, he learned that there was a truth beyond what he saw. In the sanctuary, he saw and felt the presence of God. Hallelujah. I want to repeat that. When Esau got to the sanctuary, he learned that there was a truth that went beyond what he saw and experienced in the everyday life. He found out that there's a difference between the temple and the sanctuary. In the temple, a lot of performance can happen. In the temple, a lot of stuff can happen. But it's when you get into the secret place of the Most High that impacts what happens in the temple. As someone said one time, what would say? As your eyes. But he said, turn your eyes on Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this world will go strangely deep. Move to the sanctuary. Move from the observatory station of life and get back into the sanctuary so that God can strengthen you, so that he can push you on to ministry you need it. It is not better on the other side. It is always better with God. May God give you the patience this morning. May give you the strength to wait. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for your word today. We don't know, Lord, to whom you have dispatched this word, but may they receive it as coming from you to encourage their spirit. May they receive it as you showing your interest to them, knowing that you still commend your love towards us, in that while we were sinners, in that we were doubtful, in that we were discouraged, you made provision for us. So thank you, Lord. Use your word in Jesus' name. Now we want you to know there's a very important announcement. There's going to be a credit union meeting on the 18th of this month at Halls Road. It is a very important meeting for all Nazarene Credit Union members. And we want to encourage you to make a special effort to come. This is something you want to hear firsthand. So the 18th of February at Halls Road Church of the Nazarene, please come and be fully informed of the journey we're on. God bless.